chapter 11, I think. No, 10. But let's pray over this time together and pray that we'll hear from the Father. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to study your word and share your word this morning. And we thank you for the opportunity to this class that we can come together and we can share with each other and just grow in you, Father. We just thank you that pray for revelation. And so we just thank you for revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, because that is the greatest need that we have, Father God. We need to hear from heaven, because when we hear from heaven and we get revelation, revelation will change our heart and our lives. And so we just thank you for doing that for us this morning, that Holy Spirit, sir, you would be the teacher. I yield myself to you, and I thank you because you've called me to do this class. I'm anointed by you, Holy Ghost, to do it. And I thank you that your anointing removes yokes and takes burdens off of us in the name of Jesus. And we receive it with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Come on in, Michael. We're at the end of chapter 10. The title for chapter 10's book is Protected by the Father's Love. It's referring to verse 14 out of Psalms 91. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And he started out with the question, what qualifies you for God's protection? And we're not going to go back over all of that. But basically, this chapter is protected by the Father's love. We've been learning about that. There is a testimony in this book. I'm not going to read the testimony. We're going to skip right on. I hope you got the opportunity to. It's a wonderful testimony. We're going to go to page 167 at the end where he refers to the testimony. And he says, wow, glory to God indeed. And it is, all the testimonies, testimonies are good. All the testimonies that we've read in this book have been tremendous testimonies that we read from other people's ministries. They're tremendous. And so let's go on and read, though. It says, there is such power in knowing that the all-powerful Almighty God of Israel is not someone far away. He paid the price so that you and I could draw near to him. Joseph in the book of Genesis wanted his family to dwell in Goshen, which means drawing near. He wanted them in a place of nearness to him, and he told them, there I will provide for you. That's Genesis 45:11. Beloved, even in the midst of famine, Jesus, our heavenly Joseph, wants us close to him so that he can provide for us. We've been learning all throughout this book that about relationship. Have we not? Psalms 91 is based on relationship. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's a place of relationship. And so we're just continuing on in that vein. And, God wants us to draw near. He wants us to be close to him. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants us to talk with him. It says, beloved, in the midst of famine, I repeat it, Jesus, our heavenly Joseph, wants us close to him so he can provide for us. In the book of Exodus, God declared, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. Exodus 8:22. In the land of Goshen, God's people were protected from all the 10 plagues that besieged the land of Egypt during the time of Moses. In the second last of the 10 plagues, a thick, paralyzing darkness covered the land of Egypt for 3 whole days. Yet during that time, all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I hadn't read that in a long time. And that was really something for me to think about. There was a thick darkness. He says, I believe it was a supernatural darkness that covered Egypt because the Egyptians, who would have had more access to natural resources of light than the Israelite slaves, must have turned to those resources to dispel the darkness, only to find that they couldn't. That's pretty ooh. supernatural darkness that you could not dispel. I guess I just had never really, like I said, it's been a while since I've read about these plagues, and so it was like, ooh, oh my gosh. It says, by the same token, it was a supernatural light the Israelites enjoyed in Goshen, a light the darkness tried to smother but couldn't. You know what? God's people will always, how can I put it? God always makes a difference with His people. You know, you could call it the favor of God, the blessings of God, or whatever. But God always makes a difference with His people. That's why we're the light of the world. That's why I believe that as we get closer to the return of Jesus, you know, people are going to be drawn more and more to us. As we grow, I believe, in the revelation of grace, we're going to understand the finished work of the cross, and we're going to, people are going to be drawn to that. And he goes on and expounds. He says, now I believe this is prophetic of our times. The Bible is relevant for today. We're living in days where we see darkness, a supernatural darkness, cover the earth. You have to meditate on that one for a little bit. A supernatural darkness covering the earth.
Isn't that one of the things that happens in Revelation? That there's a time of darkness. You remember that, Jim?
Yeah, but you're right.
It just struck me that that was one of the things that God did to get their attention. That there was a period of time when it was just total darkness.
That's going to come on the earth?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah, in Revelation. But this time, from what I'm understanding in Pastor Todd's teaching, Revelation, that period of time is totally to get the Jews' attention, to get them saved.
Really?
That's totally just to shake them loose.
From their religion?
Yes, and so here they're protected, but there in Revelation,
okay,
there is protection there in Revelation also for, but the darkness, the plagues that come then are to get their attention.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know. I did not know that. So a supernatural darkness.
Supernatural.
It's not just the darkness when it becomes night. It's a supernatural darkness.
It's a supernatural.
So that serves a supernatural purpose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It says that should ring bells for Israel. That should ring because certainly they know the Old Testament.
Yeah, because of what happened in the Old Testament. Yeah, that's good, Carol. That's good. It says, yet the scriptures tell us that even when there's thick and deep darkness all around the church, you and I, together with our families, can experience and enjoy God's supernatural light in our dwellings. We who have been drawn near to Him through the work of His Son can have intimacy with God and enjoy His protective covering to live fear-free and victoriously in these dark times. There's a key word in that last sentence there. To me it is. We draw near to Him through the work of His Son, but then we can have intimacy with God. You know, that's what He wants, is intimacy with us. And from that, there is the enjoying of protective covering. Let's go on to the next page. Beloved, in the place of nearness, God makes a difference between His people and the people of the world. What do you think about that statement? Any thoughts on that? Because they're...
We're under covenant.
Mm-hmm.
The world is not.
Yeah. But I think the direction I'm coming from, in the place of nearness, God makes a difference between his people and the people of the world. Do you all know people that are Christians, but in certain situations, you probably couldn't tell them from the world? Yes, we're under a new covenant, but do we live out from that place of the new covenant?
Do we dwell
in the secret place? Right. Do we dwell? Do we partake of the new covenant? Now, I'm not saying this is a judgmental statement about anybody, but I mean, I've been there, done that. You know, I've grown in my relationship with the Lord over the years. But, and I remember one time, if I can say this, share the story about my husband, it just came to my remembrance. We were young in the Lord, and we were at a football game, and Dusty was becoming very vocal. You remember this? Remember Charlie Harris?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes, and so someone we knew, we went to church with, and I mean, Dusty wasn't cursing, but he was hollering, because Dusty's never been one to curse. I don't know if I've ever heard you say a curse word, but anyway, when it was all said and done, this man said to Dusty, "I thought you called yourself a Christian."
Ouch.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we all have the new covenant to partake of. And he says, it's in the place of nearness that God makes a difference between his people and the people of the world. And to me, that nearness is drawing near to him, seeking his face, spending time in fellowship, you know, with him. And you know, it changes your life. You come into class, you know, on Sunday morning. We come to church. We hear the word. It changes our lives. It makes us different. But we have to partake of it.
Yes. And then I would have listened to Brother Keith Moore this morning, and he was talking about how that the world says, well, you know, everything's up to God. God's in control.
Mm-hmm.
And see, people don't know their covenant.
Right.
The majority of the Christian community does not know their covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And we that do, it's up to us to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times they're not hearing it from their ministers in their pulpits. They're
right.
Not hearing it. And, you know, for whatever reason, the ministers will not investigate some of the preachers like Brother Keith and
mm-hmm.
Brother Copeland, Mark Hankins, and some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't heard it.
Right.
And so therefore they're not walking in it.
Right.
And it's the body of Christ has been robbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
I made a statement this morning that something to the effect that beyond salvation, most Christian people go their own way. I mean, they don't go to God for anything beyond that. It's well, he went on to what Jude was talking about, believing that everything's up to God, so you just kind of, except for salvation, that's, they don't believe any, they don't go any other way. And it's mostly because they don't know.
Right, haven't been taught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like what he's saying here, because of her lack of intimacy with God.
Yes.
Then most people are being led by popular opinion, how they feel, or what somebody has told them.
Yes.
And they don't even have, you know, they don't even know what I call the ABCs of of Christianity.
Right.
Right.
There's certain things you need to know.
Yeah.
If you're just born again, in order to function in the kingdom of God.
Right. And therefore, like Judy said, we've been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of it's so important is, you know, who you listen to, where you go to church, however you want to put it. You know, are you hearing the fullness of the gospel?
Right.
Or
getting your ears tickled? Or what?
Yeah, yeah. It's very important. Very important, you know, what we're hearing. Because
people don't even know what they believe.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians don't even know what they believe.
No.
Yeah, if you ask somebody,
Pell State, or, you know, you might ask if they say they say, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't even know.
Or I think so.
Yeah.
Right. I believe that's changing. I believe that's changing. It has to. For Jesus' return, it has to. Because the church has got to wake up, know what's rightfully ours, stand in it, you know, and for people to see, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, Judy, you can see that you've been robbed. Well, there's people that, you know, God wants them to see they've been robbed.
Yes.
And a lot of it, yes, we'll share with them, but a lot of it is just how we live our life.
Yes.
Right in front of them.
Yes.
That speaks volumes.
Yes.
A lot of it's going to come back to prayer.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Just like Abraham.
Which, where does prayer come from? Yeah. Intimacy.
Right. But it's going to, just like Abraham praying for Lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, it's going to come back to people standing in the gap and snatching these people up.
Yeah.
Out of some bad places.
Yes, yeah, that's true. That is true.
Even when they don't want to be. Because Lot didn't want to be.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay there.
Yeah. Because it was good enough for his flesh. Oh, me, that's great. Great responses on that one. Beloved, in the place of nearness, God makes a difference between his people and the people of the world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. John 17:14. We are his. Now, that's a statement in itself. We are his. He desires for us to be close to him so that he can hide us under the shadow of his wings. He paid the price so that we can be called his children. Oh, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons and daughters of the Most High. That's 1 John 3:1. We are his. You know, who do you belong to? What does God mean to you? You know, people might ask you those questions. You know, can you say, I'm his? Yeah. I belong to God. He is your father, your daddy, your Abba. That is the name by which he wants you to call him. He said, when my son Justin has a nightmare, he doesn't call out, Pastor Prince, Pastor Prince, Pastor Prince. He just cries out, Abba. And I'm there, ready to take on any monsters hiding under his bed. In the same way, you can have complete assurance that when you call upon your Father, he will answer you. You can have full confidence in your Father's protection and deliverance for you and your family, not because of your love for him, that's key right there, but because of his love for you. Because we've been taught, you know, it was all about my love for God. You know, have we not over the years? It was all about our love for God. And our love for God is very important. But my love, I have learned my love for God comes out, flows out from my understanding his love for me. I heard Joseph Prince on some CD or something that I listened to, that when Justin was a baby, he never learned to call his daddy, daddy. He called him Abba. And, you know, and he said, we didn't teach him that. And he said it was just like, it was very special to Joseph when he started doing that. If I remember correctly, I believe he put it this way. He said it was like a kiss from God to me. Yeah. Beloved, whatever may be happening in the world today, you can be bold and fearless because nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, your Heavenly Father. As the Word of God proclaims in Romans 8:38-39, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's an interesting scripture. Think about it if it read this way. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love I have for God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. But it's in the love God has for me. We're not going to go into the next chapter because the Lord really dealt with me about doing this, and so I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to share a testimony with you that fits, because I said, Lord, where does it fit? This is called protected by the Father's love, and He showed me that where it fits is. Where he's talking about his son has a nightmare, and, you know, he calls out, you know, Abba, and Abba is there ready to take on any, he said, I'm there ready to take on any monsters hiding under this bed. When you have complete assurance that when you call upon the Father, He will answer you, you can have full confidence in your Father's protection and deliverance for you and your family. Not because of your love for Him, but because of His love for you. And this is what I wanted to share with you. Now, you all know, y'all, I've shared enough times that we've been together of my little issue with riding out on the road, right? Well, you know, God's really done a work in my heart, I think since I've just shared it. Because, you know, I brought it out to the light. And I've talked to the Father a lot about it. And so one of the first things that happened was, you know, this summer I made a trip to Tennessee all by myself, drove through a lot of traffic. You know, it was cool. I realized that God was with me, and He took care of me and all of that. Well, I got to go on another road trip, 3,000 miles worth. But I wanted to tell you what happened here. And I know why God wants me to share it. It's because intimacy. And before I went on the trip, I have to be honest, I was dreading parts of it because I was playing the wrong mental images. Do you ever play wrong mental images? And I had these certain mental images going through my brain, and it was, you know, in traveling, riding in a car, going places I didn't know where I was going. And so one night, I just said, well, let me read you this scripture verse, Psalm 62, verse 8. Now, this is the Passion Bible. It says, join me, everyone. Trust only in God every moment. Tell Him all your troubles and pour out your heart longings to Him. Believe me when I tell you, He will help you. And then Psalms 27, 8 says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. So I knew I needed to have a heart-to-heart talk with the Father. Now, you know, all it was fear. You know, I acknowledge that. I'll tell you that. And fear is false evidence appearing real. But I'm telling you, it was real, real, real at times. So we had a little talk, and I had a crying session. But I want to tell you what I told my Father. I said, Father God, I'm scared. I did. I said, I'm scared. And I said, if you don't help me with this, I can't go on this trip. Because I don't want to travel for hours and have to deal with this in my mind. Now, some of you might say, well, you have authority over fear. And I do. And I know what the Word says about fear. And I had been doing that. But I'm telling you what, this is what nipped it in the bud. I just have to be honest with you. It was. So anyway, so I talked to Him, shared my heart, poured my heart out here, and it was maybe the next day or the next day after that. Anyway, I kept thinking about Psalms 121. And I thought, okay, well, that one is, I look under the hills from whence my help comes from. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Well, I want to read it to you out of this version. This is what my Father God did for me out of love. I look up to the hills, the mountains and the hills, longing for God's help. That was me. I was longing for God's help. But then I realized, and let me stop here. You know what would have stopped me before in having this intimate talk with him like this? Was, you know what? I'm supposed to be a woman of faith. And I'm supposed to confess this. I'm supposed to take authority over it. And you know what? There's times you do that and it works. But I evidently was deeper in that fear than I thought I was. Okay? And I needed the word to talk to me. But you know what? You know what? This was Abba, Daddy God, talking to me. I mean, I've seen it as the word talking to me, but it brought an intimacy into it. We've got to let the word bring an intimacy to us. And maybe you have that, and praise God if you do. You know what? I have to a certain degree, but I have it a whole lot more now. It says, but then I realized that my true help and protection comes only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget nor ignore me. He will never slumber nor sleep. He's the guardian God for His people. Jehovah Himself will watch over me. He's always at my side to shelter me safely in His presence. He's protecting me from danger, all danger, both day and night. He'll keep me from every form of evil or calamity as He continually watches over me. All that was ministering to me, but the next verse was what set me free. You will be guarded by God Himself. You will be safe when you leave home, and safely you will return. God did that for me. And that came out of a place of intimacy. This is what He wants. And you know what? And it goes on to say, He will protect you now and He'll protect you forevermore. And out of that place of intimacy, I received that. Faith rose up in my heart and I could take hold of it. Does that make any sense? And you know, this chapter is protected by the Father's love. Well, I couldn't have tagged on right to that, the Father's love, but I will in just a minute. But anyway, I said, okay, God, I can go now. And I have written in here, 10/7/19, the Texas trip. Well, so, and you know what? Because, you know what, I wanted to make this trip and not have to be standing the whole time. You know, just understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not having to be fighting. And I'm not saying that you don't ever have to do that. But I say, God, this is a long time. And I said, I can't sit in that car and say over and over in Gene and Judy and Dusty's ear, I do not have a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, if it had come to that, you know what? But God took me into the secret place of the Most High out of intimacy. And spoke this to my heart. And so, you know, we're traveling. And we traveled in lots of traffic. Especially on Interstate 10, southern part of the states, going to Houston. I want to tell you this. We made a wrong turn in Houston. Went right through downtown. And I mean, it was okay. See what God will do? Fear is terrible. God's love, wonderful. And God's love always overrides fear. God's perfect love will cast out fear. I received His love from this scripture. and it cast out fear in my life. You know, I loved going. Judy didn't care a whole lot for it, but I loved going through downtown. I mean, this was a miracle for me. I could look at those big, tall buildings, and it was like, wow, that is really cool. We went through a pretty strong storm where, because we were flat, there was no mountains to block the wind. And, you know, the wind was pretty, you know, tremendous. But the traffic was the big deal. We got turned around a couple of times or two. And you know what? I've told you, it's been that thing of getting lost. I have to say this. One time we got turned around, and the GPS in the car was saying something. My GPS was saying something different. And Judy had the GPS on her phone saying something different. I said, okay, well, we'll cut mine off here. But, you know, it was just like, in the midst of all that, when I would have, you know, you've been in places, haven't you? You're dealing with fear, and it's a mental anguish that you go through at times. Yeah, you know, I said, God, I can't do that. No, I'm not doing that. And so therefore, he came, he met me right where I was at, and I was able to, you know, walk through that and enjoy the trip. Okay, God's good. But then, let me tell you this. I come home, and this is what brought all this about kind of to a complete place for me, was, you know, in football games, Dusty rode with, helped take the equipment van and all that, so he couldn't ride with me to football games, which meant I was riding by myself. Okay. And at night. Isn't it funny how we look at God? And if I'm the only one, then I'm the only one. But isn't it funny how we look at God, that he has no problem taking care of me riding around Christiansburg in the dark, but let me get out to going to Radford? It's that mental game, you know, that you see, that mental images that you play and all. And so I made it to Pulaski, drove by myself, drove home. Okay, growing place. Growing, you know what I was growing in? Was God's love for me. And that not only was he able to protect me, but why would he protect Wanda? Because of his love for me. So Friday night, it was Hidden Valley. And I almost didn't go. I said, nope, I'm going to face this, and I'm going. And got the opportunity. I could have ridden with someone. And I said, nope, I'm going to go on my own. You know when you have to face something? So, and I drove down there, was fine, and you know, we had the game, and so coming back, and I didn't want to travel interstate because it can really get jammed up at trucks late at night. It was 10 o'clock at night, but I had forgotten how isolated 460 could be coming home. So, you know, I'm coming home, and I'm talking to the Father, and I'm not real, and you know, I said, God, I don't want to do this. If I'm going to be tight in my shoulders, all worked up, you see what I'm saying? I'm still in fear. So I said, you know, I ask you to help me. You know what bothers me driving at night? Deer. I said, God, you created deer. I think you can take care of them. And then I said, plus I have authority over them. So I spoke to any deer that would want to come out in the road in front of me. Yeah, I mean, one, yeah. Yeah. So I'm coming up the road, and we're just having a good old time just talking. I'm just talking to the Father, thanking Him. Because you know what? I don't know what's up ahead for me. But, you know, I don't want fear to rule me in any area of my life. Do you?
No.
And so we're coming up the road, and the moon was pretty and was shining. And, you know, I was just talking to the Lord, and I heard him say, you know, I'm taking care of you because I love you. And that's what he wanted me to tell you this morning. The reason God protects you is because he loves you. And you may know that, but I hope you know it in a greater way after hearing this. And whatever you're afraid of, whatever you fear, he doesn't want you to. And I said, thank you, Father. It's not how far I have to go in the area of traveling. It's not how far I have to go. To you, it's no difference if I'm driving a mile or if I'm driving 3,000 miles. Oh, and by the way, I didn't drive any. For a person that likes to control things. God's working with me on that too. I didn't drive any. I actually offered. I said to Gene, I said, you know, I am a good driver. Gene didn't offer.
He didn't answer.
He didn't even answer me. But you know what? You know what? God is so gracious to walk us through places in life that that'll just set you free from some things. And, another thing. When I was at the ball game, and the people that offered to let me ride down with them, I sat with them, and we were walking, and she said, do you want me to ride home with you? She said, of course, if I ride home with you, she said, I'll probably fall asleep. She said, let McKinley, and McKinley was their son. And I said, and I thought about it for a moment. I said, no, I'm all right. And McKinley was just really pressing in. He said, oh, Miss Wanda, he calls me Miss Wanda. He said, I'll ride with you. And I said, no. He said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. We stood right at that door, and I said, McKinley, if you weren't here, I'd have to be riding by myself. So I said, I really appreciate it, but I'm fine. See, I had the opportunity to just kind of take the easy way out.
Yes.
Or I could have read that, oh, God's providing this for me. No, he was providing the other for me. And so this was a revelation for me, and I hope that some way it can be for you, that God protects us. The bottom line is, no matter what we've learned about Psalms 91, what we learned, you know, Psalms 121 is a prayer, I believe, prayer of protection. No matter what, the bottom line is, it's because he loves us. It's not how many times I've prayed Psalms 91, how many times I've quoted scripture. And you know what I'm saying when I say that. I'm not saying don't pray Psalms 91 and don't quote scripture. But do it out of your intimacy with God. Because like I had written here, because I thought, okay, Psalms 121 is a great Psalms to pray over people's lives. And, you know, so I would start praying. And then I wrote this in my Bible. I said, I pray the word and confess the word, not out of religion, but out of relationship. It's all about relationship. And you know what? If we get to the end of this book and our relationship with the Father is not any closer, with Jesus and the Holy Ghost is not any closer, then we have missed the core truth of this book. And if this is not causing you to have a more intimate relationship with the Father, then we've missed the core meaning of this book. Now, I believe that with all my heart. You know, it's not by mistake that we're doing this book. We're learning about protection. But you know what? Why are we protected? And he started out the chapter with, you know, what qualifies you for protection? I'll be honest with you. What qualifies me in the past is what Wanda's done. Oh, I've prayed Psalms 91. Or I've pled the blood of Jesus. Or I've. And really, you know, and I want to say this. The verse that he's teaching from says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. That sounds like a condition, doesn't it? It is a condition. You set your love upon me, I'll deliver you. That sounds like an oxymoron to me. You know what? Okay. Then he goes on and he talks, we're protected by the Father's love. Well, we have to remind ourselves, Psalms 91 is the old covenant. And back then, it was about doing. It was about the law. That's where the law came in. It was everything that the people did. The new covenant is under everything that Jesus has done. And God protects me. He only protects me because he loves me. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to earn it. But if I'll stay in close fellowship and communion with him, he protects me. And you know, and I'll go so far as to say this too. You know what? We all have fears. If there's any person that's in this room that doesn't have any fears, then I don't think you're in touch with reality. Because we've all got a foe, an enemy, an accuser that likes to paint mental pictures, right? If we listen to them. And so, you know, one fear that I can tell you that God's delivered me from is this. And y'all play such a big part in it. And it's the fear of not having people's approval. And y'all are playing a huge part in this. And he's delivering me from that. You know why? Because he loves me. He don't want me to be in bondage to any man. And you think, how does that work? You don't know the struggle I had this morning with sharing this with you. Not because it's personal. You know, I'm a pretty wide open book. I've learned. I'm tired of pretending that I'm anything other than loved by God. But, you know, it's like, what went through my mind do you think? Oh, what are they going to think if I tell them that I'm this and that? Do you ever do that? When you have something that you've got to do with people, does it ever go through your head what somebody going to think about it? Well, if it does, then you've got some fear where man's concerned. And you know what God doesn't want? He wants us to only want his approval and not the approval of man. And so, you know, take this, wherever you've got fear at, and you talk to the Father about it and be very open and honest with him, be very intimate with him. Be very intimate and detailed with him about how you feel about it. And then let him take that place and deliver you from that place of fear. Because fear is bondage. And I tell you what, I hate it. Because you know what it stole from me? Just the driving issue. It wasn't so much I didn't go places, but when I went, it was terrible getting there. And I hate it. And it's what it does to you mentally. And then if you don't deal with it, it'll go into the physical realm. So thank you for listening.